People who are bitten by a black-legged tick could be at a higher risk of more than one infection. Felicia Kiesing is a biology professor at Dutchess County-based Bard College and co-author of a new study.
The most important finding we found is that ticks are almost twice as likely to be infected with two pathogens, the bacterium that causes Lyme disease and the protozoan that causes babesiosis, than we would have expected.
She says nearly 30% of the ticks were infected with the agent of Lyme disease. One-third of these were also infected with at least one other pathogen. The agents of Lyme disease and babesiosis were found together in 7% of ticks.
First, we're trying to get the word out to public health professionals and the public that this is something they need to be aware of with this new clarity about the magnitude of the problem. The other thing we're doing is continuing to survey for other emerging pathogens, some of them much less well-known than these ones that the public at this point have heard a lot about.
Such as?
Well, we're interested in a couple of other Borrelia species. Borrelia is the genus of the bacterium that causes Lyme disease, but there are some other species in that same group that are known to cause human disease but are poorly understood. So my lab is currently looking at those other species of Borrelia to see if they're found in this area and how common they are, and similar to this study, to see if ticks are co-infected with those at unexpected rates.
The researchers, including some from the Millbrook-based Cary Institute of Ecosystem Studies, collected thousands of black-legged ticks from more than 150 sites in Dutchess County, an area with a high incidence of tick-borne illnesses. They also collected ticks that had fed on different kinds of wildlife, including birds, rodents, opossums, and raccoons. Michelle Hirsch is an assistant professor of biology at Sarah Lawrence College in Westchester County and lead author of the study. She says mice and chipmunks are critical reservoirs for the two pathogens, so ticks that have fed on these animals are more likely to be co-infected. Democratic State Assembly member Dee Dee Barrett calls the study results frightening.
It's more important that legislation like ours that just passed, that doctors have the ability and the opportunity without risk of someone looking over their shoulder to make the best decisions possible for their patients.
Barrett authored the bill that prohibits the investigation of any claim of medical professional misconduct based solely on treatment that is not universally accepted by the medical profession, such as longer-term antibiotic treatment for chronic Lyme disease. Republican Kemp Hannan sponsored the bill in the Senate, where Democrat Terry Gibson was a co-sponsor. The legislation awaits Governor Andrew Cuomo's signature. Gibson says the legislation provides a foundation for another bill.
And the next step that we're hoping to really tackle is helping pass legislation that will finally hold insurance companies accountable for covering the cost of all medical bills associated with long-term tick-borne illness disease.
Meanwhile, Barrett says the public education component needs to be greater. She also praised the work of the Senate Task Force on Lyme and Tick-Borne Diseases, which earlier in June released recommendations for a state action plan to enhance research, prevention, diagnosis, and treatment for tick-borne illnesses. Gibson, too, commended the work, but criticized partisanship. Meanwhile, for Bard's Kiesing, there is a major issue to be addressed.
The focal problem is the abundance of ticks. So my interest, and I think I share this with a lot of people, is how do we get the kinds of large-scale replicated studies to look at ways to reduce tick abundance that are really needed.
A link to the new research published in the journal PLOS One is available at WAMC.org. Reporting from WAMC's Hudson Valley Bureau at the State University of New York at New Paltz, I'm Allison Dunn.